I'm Andy Borowitz in for Leonard Lopate at WNYC, WNYC.org. You know, with all the controversy about Park 51, there may be only one way to resolve the matter, by joking about it. My next guest, Dino Vidal, is going to try. He's been touring the country as part of the Arabs Gone Wild stand-up comedy tour. I love that name. Which will be coming to New York's Town Hall for one big show on Saturday, October 2nd. He's an award-winning comedian. He's also a good pal of mine. And he hails from the great state of New Jersey. I'm really glad he could come by and be my guest today. Hello again, Dean.
Hi, Andy. Thanks for having me on.
You and I go way back.
Yes.
But we've done many shows together. We used to hang out downtown. We did shows at Mo Pitkin's House of Satisfaction back in the day.
Yes.
And you've moved on to Town Hall.
I have, but you're on
Broadway.
WNYC Radio.
So. I know, so let's not get competitive.
No, you're careers. Doing better.
But you were, no. You were, this is historic, right? Is this the first Arab comedy show ever to make it to Broadway? Is this true?
To a Broadway theater, and as well as Live Nation, which is the nation's biggest tour promoter, is actually producing our tour. So it's the first time they've ever produced an all Arab American tour. And they usually do like Shakira and U2 and you know, Beyonce.
Right.
So it's a big thing, and we're trying to cross the mainstream. And, you know, I think the comedy is broad and accessible to everyone, but certainly there's political issues and things that our audience relates to. They just don't laugh at it, but they're like, yeah, I went through that. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right. Well, it's congratulations on making it to Broadway.
Hopefully people will come. Just be an empty theater won't be as much fun.
I've got to say at this point, the Jews did get to Broadway first. We beat you there.
I think built it.
We were involved in the infrastructure.
Thank you for letting us have this one night, Andy.
It's like just one night. Well, you know, it's baby steps. You know, but that's fantastic. And Town Hall is such a great venue. Have you already walked the stage? Have you tried it out? Have you
seen virtual tour of it online? Of course.
The seating chart.
The seating chart. Look at all the seats. Actually, a couple of years ago, I did a show there, part of Laughing Liberally. And we did a show there. It was a great venue. It's fun. It's beautiful. It excites you as a comedian.
Yeah. Now, you did a really fantastic one-man show, which I saw, I think, was it 2006?
2006.
2006 at the New York Fringe Festival.
Yes.
And it was called I Come in Peace.
Right.
And it was great. It was very, very funny. But it was all about your evolution from, I think you described yourself, you're half Italian, half Palestinian.
Exactly.
Is that right? And your mom's Italian.
My mom's Italian Catholic. Right. My dad's Palestinian Muslim.
Exactly. So, you told the story of your kind of sea change, because before 9/11, you were hanging out as kind of a yuppie in New York. You sort of described yourself as like a member of the cast of Friends. You just sort of passed as a.
All my friends had names like Monica and Chandler and Joey and
exactly.
Ross at the time. Yes. Exactly.
And you were sort of like. You were sort of passing as a white guy. I mean, you weren't. It wasn't an intentional thing, but it was just sort of no one ever asked you about your ethnicity at all.
Right.
And you look like kind of like an Italian guy. You could, mm-hmm. you don't have any. I don't have any way of knowing that you're an Arab until I see you on stage in the.
Well, I'm wearing a
Arab
shirt that says halal tonight.
Oh, that's true. That is
so
a little
the equivalent
bit,
of kosher for
exactly.
Jews. It's halal for Muslims.
But now all this changed after 9/11 because suddenly people would identify you by your ethnicity. Talk about how that, I mean, we know why that happened, but how did you experience it?
I mean, to me, it was, pre-9/11, it really was a white guy. I mean, I really identified as that. I didn't have many Arab friends. And I've always said, simplistically enough, that September 10th, I went to sleep a white guy. September 11th, I woke up an Arab. And that's simplistic, but it really was for many people in our community went through the same transformation. We thought we're just typical Americans. No big deal. Some had been here for generations. All of a sudden, after 9/11, you were seen as the other. You were suspicious. You had to answer questions. For me, it was people would ask me questions. And sometimes they were nice, and sometimes they were really assuming a lot of negative information. But
What were some of the questions they would ask?
Well, I actually put it in my act. I used to do it all the time in my act. But people would say things like, "Oh, you're Arab." Oh, and they try to be nice. Some were nice. They go, "Oh, you're Arab. Wow, I love hummus." Like that's a nice thing.
Well, who doesn't?
Right. So, but there in New York, you have a lot of open-minded, progressive people who want to bond.
Right.
Other people, like I swear, people said to me, "Oh, you're Arab, but you look so normal." I've had that. I'm not kidding. I've had people say I was on Fox News Radio, and the guy said, I swear to God, it was the judge and BJ, whatever. He said to me, "So you're Arab. So how many terrorists are there?" He asked me this with a straight face. I said 83 with a straight face just to respond. And I've had some negative things where I've heard, not looking like my ethnic heritage. You don't have to be Arab to relate to this. People say things about your own heritage to your face if they don't know what you are. And I've had people say horrible things about Arabs. And I heard one I did in my act, but it was true, where a guy at the laundromat we're watching TV. And he goes, you see these freaking Arabs on TV? Which is never a good way to start a conversation with anyone.
No.
And I go, yeah. He goes, I think we should kill them all. Let God sort out the good and bad ones. I'm like, sir, I'm Arab. He goes, you don't look it. I'm like, well, that just makes it easier for me to achieve the goals of my mission. Sometimes you're going to be defiantly funny at times. You know, at the same time, you have to know when you can do those jokes. I tell people don't do them at the airport on checking in on flights or something.
No. Well, and actually, I remember you had a couple of great, I mean, the whole show was hilarious. And it was also very moving because I remember it ended with you wishing everyone peace. You know,
Assalamu alaikum, yeah.
Yeah, Assalamu alaikum, which was a great moment. It was really kind of a perfectly realized evening of theater.
Thank you.
But you had a couple of jokes that really have stayed with me. One was when you're talking about, you know, getting on flights after 9/11, and you know, you have this Arabic sounding name, Obadallah, mm-hmm. and one of your friends made a helpful suggestion that maybe you want to, you know, change your name, right?
Well, people have made many helpful suggestions over the years, which have never been helpful. Right? From, truthfully, right after 9/11, a comedy club owner in New York said, don't even talk about being Arab on stage. Don't even use your name. And he was a friend. He wasn't censoring me.
There goes the act, right?
Well, I didn't really talk about being Arab before 9/11. It was such a small part of my act. But no, I had friends say, like, oh, why don't you translate your name from Obadallah to the English version and no one will guess your heritage. But in my case, my name, Obadallah in English, means servant of Allah. Which doesn't help you.
That's worse,
it doesn't.
I think.
You know, I think
way worse.
I look white. My name legally is Dean. My father wanted Salahuddin, and my mother's like, there'll be none of that. You know? So, but seriously, I mean, if my name is Salahuddin Obadallah, I would pick myself at the airport. I'm like, let's cut out the middleman and let's do this.
I know I'm not phrasing this right, but I think I remember somebody said that if you were on a plane and there was a terrorist act in progress, that you should then identify yourself. As a terrorist, that they would let you off?
Not as a terrorist.
As an Arab. As an Arab. I'm sorry. You see, now I fell into that.
A little Freudian slip. Thank you, Sarah Palin.
How many terrorists are there, by the way? Well, I've got you. But they said that it was really interesting to know how that was going to work. They were going to, like, drop you off at the nearest landing strip and then continue with the terror attack.
A friend,
in progress.
The bizarre thing is, a friend said that, and in his mind, he was being helpful. He goes, look, you're lucky if there's a terrorist attack on the plane, you can tell the terrorists you're Arab, and then you'll be okay. And first of all, the assumption was they're all terrorists are Arab. And secondly, that somehow the guys were going to care and
right.
be like, oh, you're Arab, let's land the plane now. You get off and we continue on. Okay, my friend? No, that's not going to happen. But, you know, I think things have evolved. I mean, up until, I swear to you, Arabs Gone Wild, the reason we did that, because I was in a tour before called Axis of Evil, and that was much more about Bush and politics and racial profiling. Then America, we thought, had evolved. And it wasn't to the Park 51 Lower Manhattan Mosque Muslim Community Center issue that we realized there's a great deal more anger in this country towards us. And Arab and Muslim don't mean the same thing, but people use them interchangeably. Arab is ethnic heritage and Islam is a religion, obviously. But we all feel this together. And it's been a very scary time where Arabs Gone Wild was not – it sounds more defiant now. We started the shows in the spring when it was just like, let's have fun. It was an unapologetic celebration of who we are. We're talking about not just politics, about dating and just the world, about everything. And now all of a sudden the politics has creeped back into the show a lot more now.
Well, it's all about – I mean, it's all about the other, as you pointed out at the beginning. And, you know, President Obama, who's neither an Arab or a Muslim, is always – I remember there was one unintentionally hilarious moment from the campaign. I don't know if you – one of this town hall meeting.
John McCain,
yeah. Where this sort of addled woman said – I don't like that Obama. He's an Arab. And John McCain said, no, ma'am. He's a good person. Or something.
He's a good family
like
man.
He's a good family man.
Great moments in Arab history.
Yeah,
in
it was a great moment. So I think you still have probably some political stuff to do even in this current tour.
We do, but I think it was much more beneath the surface than we thought. And that's, you know, you'll deal with those issues now. And you know, Sarah Palin, who I'm going to surprise you, Andy. I'm actually supporting her. Not for president, but for manager at Bed Bath & Beyond. I think she'd be great. Maybe assistant manager, let her work her way up, because she might quit the job like she did governor of Alaska. So,
that's right.
Or maybe magician's assistant. I think she'd be great as a magician.
I always thought a receptionist at the DoubleTree Inn. I think if she were the person handing me my gym card and the mini bar key, I would feel totally comfortable with her
she
ability
smart.
To pull
She'd
that
be
off.
Pleasant, affable. You would like to hang out.
She'd be great at any of those tests. Andy Borowitz, I'm in for Leonard Lopate on WNYC and WNYC.org, and I'm talking to Dean Obadallah, the hilarious comedian and headliner of Arabs Gone Wild, the Arab-American comedy tour that's coming to Town Hall. Now, tell me a little bit about your feelings about this whole Park 51 thing, because you said it you know, you were feeling kind of good. You were kind of feeling just it was safe to be an Arab in America again. And then this Park 51 thing sort of reminded me, oh, well, maybe some people don't want us here.
Some people, it was so unbelievably shocking to us how it built, the anger that built. I mean, it's sort of the overflow of the Tea Party, which I think someone put something in their tea. I advocate they drink chamomile tea from now on.
Yeah, that's a little more relaxing.
I think much more soothing, calming, like Bigelow type of cozy time tea.
I don't think that's going to make the difference.
I'm hoping it does. Or don't nominate witches as candidates. How's that?
The teenage witch, right?
But going back to the story, I think we were all oblivious, quite frankly. I'm not even kidding. I don't even think the imam who was he even said, and I think he was being honest, I didn't think this was going to cause a problem because his community said his mosque now is 12 blocks from Ground Zero. For us, it's troubling. I mean, the idea that in America you can openly demonize Muslims, get on national TV, and very few people will stand up and defend you. And it's completely okay. Like, if you say something about, you know, other minority groups, you're vilified by many, many voices come together. For us, we're on our own. Except that, I will be honest, the silver lining to this whole thing was the interfaith alliances, like with Mayor Bloomberg, Jerry Nadler, Scott Stringer, J Street. A lot of liberal, progressive Jews came together with Muslims and some Christian organizations as well. So on some level there, that's the bright, shining example that we can work together. And I feel much better about that. But, you know, you see these guys are angry, like, oh, Muslims, all they want is violence. That's what they want. And you see the Muslim guys, like, I just want to have a hamburger. I don't know. You want Sharia law because I want the Pepsi and the Big Mac. Is that like, can I have that and sit down here?
Now, so you're getting a sense of how, I mean, sort of a snapshot of how America is responding to you and to the other comedians. What are some of the cities that Live Nation is taking Arabs Gone Wild to?
We just did, and there's two other headliners, by the way. Aaron Cater, who's a great comic.
I love Aaron Cater.
You know Aaron, that's right.
I know him from Aspen. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Maysoon Zayat is like my sister. She's a great comic, and we have special guests in each city. We were just in Seattle, Portland, Sacramento. Next Saturday, October 2nd, is New York. Then it's Boston the week after at the Wilbur Theater. Then Toronto. We're going out of the country. Traveling internationally.
That's very suspicious
it is,
to me.
Just for one night, which makes it even more.
Yeah, what are you planning?
We're planning something. And then come back for Dallas and Houston in November, and then hopefully more cities. And we already did D.C., the Lisner Theater, and Anaheim and L.A. So it's been a fun tour. It's been great getting out there. And people in our community need a cathartic release again. That was not something we thought we were going to need. There's been a lot of – and we try. You know, I've done a lot of shows in the Middle East now, Andy. I don't know if you've – I've told you a little bit.
This has been, you've been to Jordan and,
Jordan, Lebanon. I was in Saudi Arabia two months ago for a show.
I remember you once saying that the only person who's been to so many of these cities would be going as a hostage.
I think you said that, actually. No, that was very funny.
One of us said it and was hilarious.
I was in Saudi Arabia three months ago for a show, Egypt. We have the Amman Stand Up Comedy Festival that I have the privilege of producing for the city of Amman. We have our third year coming up in December. But going there, it's been fun, like culturally, just to see the differences. I mean, they love smoking. I went to a gym. There was an ashtray and a treadmill.
That's what they smoke.
We have commercials to get you to quit smoking. They have commercials like, don't be a quitter. Keep smoking to the end.
So when you're doing your comedy in the Middle East, are you doing are they into American culture? Do they get your jokes about America?
The only difference is the only things they don't get are jokes about our perception of race. Our perceptions of race are very American. Like, I did a joke about Arabs being the new black, and I was happy. It means that we're cool. The joke goes from there. They don't get that idea. Or if you did a joke, Asians, if you stereotype, like, they're really smart in school, they don't know that. Well, mm-hmm. They don't have Asian people to know they're really smart in school. Mm-hmm. Or the flip side, they can't drive. You know, those stereotypes that we use as comedians, they don't. But everything else, the YouTube and the internet has brought people together so much. They watch our comedy. They love jokes about politics. They love the Bush jokes. Now they like, you know, they like Obama, but it's sort of like America. I guess there's a lot of disappointment by some and ambivalence by others.
In the Middle East?
I mean, they liked him. They would cheer him. When I was there the day after the election, I performed in Cairo. And we have big crowds. But it's, you know, hopefully he's still positive. He looked at positively, but disappointing a little.
That's interesting. Now, what, you know, you said that, you know, you were doing all this stuff about Bush, and that was kind of a golden age in a way for political comedy. I mean, I must say, there's this little bit of sadness as we've turned the page from there, because it was really like this guy who just every day would give you something new to say something about. And even when things were going terribly, so terrible events are usually the mother's milk of political satire.
Right.
So what do you find yourself, now that we're in the post-Bush era, what do you find yourself and your fellow comedians on the tour, what are the things that you guys are talking about?
Well, I think we're talking a lot about who we are and our place inside and just having fun with it. We do talk – I mean, the Bush has his book coming out in November, so I've been writing jokes about that.
Is that still called Decision Points?
Decision – it's 512 points. Could you believe Bush wrote a book? That's the joke. He wrote a book.
How many of those decision points were Cheney's, though? That's what I want.
Well, that's an interesting thing. I think 512 pages for Bush. I think the answer to that is font size, about 95 or 110. A lot of coloring, Sudoku, some blank pages so you can doodle. I can just see Bush in you doodle in my book, and maybe in there, like, connect the dots, and you find the weapons of mass destruction on page. Like, I found them. But no, about Obama, I mean, to us, I swear to God, it's more of a celebration. Like, I say, President Obama lets us dream that maybe there'll be, truthfully, be an Arab president one day. And any race in America we can dream in. But I don't want an Arab American. I want a real Arab president, like open shirt, gold chain, smells like lamb a little.
You're going to get yourself in a lot of trouble.
No, these are my
here.
People. He comes and says, hello, everybody. How are you? I'm your president, Mustafa Mahmoud Abba Sayyid al-Masri. But please call me Mike.
So I don't think that's happening. I don't think that's
not
happening
yet,
in this country.
Not yet, but it would be fun. He'd be a fun president. I mean, Obama is a challenge, as you know, comedically in a way. Because I think a lot of comedians who are progressive, we like him and want him to do better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, while there are people out there who want Obama to fail. And I say, like, I didn't like Bush, but I rooted for him. I want him to learn to read. I want him to learn to pronounce the big words. But I truthfully did want him to do better. I don't understand these people who want – Rush Limbaugh actually said, I want him to fail. I don't understand how you can want our president to fail.
No, well, there's a whole agenda behind that. Now, but, you know, conversely, I sort of want Christine O'Donnell and her like to win primaries, don't you? I mean, isn't that giving something back? I mean, we've sacrificed so much by saying goodbye to George Bush.
Right.
I was talking to Gail Collins earlier this week from the New York Times, who specializes in finding the funny things that that politicians say. And, you know, you've got Christine O'Donnell, who's come out against masturbation, which I'm so deeply offended by because that's a lifestyle choice that I've made. But then, you know, she's also pro, or at least was at some point, pro witchcraft, had a first date on a satanic altar.
And she picnicked
there. Is there a part of you as a comedian, are you perversely rooting for Christine O'Donnell and her like to at least get to the point where they're running for office so we can enjoy this? Or?
I agree with you. Just for the nomination, I don't want people like that in the United States Senate or the House of Representatives. That would be too scary. But no, Christina, you know, you watch her, the whole thing. You see the Tea Party people, it astounds me. They're supporting a person who admitted to being involved in witchcraft, yet they'll demonize Muslim Americans. And to me, I don't know how they can do that. I don't know how much you can hold your nose and pretend there's something not wrong with you when you're doing that.
We like witches better. Harry Potter, very big.
If she was
team.
A vampire, I'd be cool with it. To me, vampires are cool. Witch is not cool. Werewolf, kind of cool. Witch, not cool.
All right. I've been speaking with comedian Dean Obadalla, who's headlining Arabs Gone Wild, this national comedy tour. It's going to be at Town Hall on Saturday, October 2nd at 8 p.m. For more information and tickets, visit our show page at WNYC.org. Dean, thanks again. It's Andy Borowitz sitting in for Leonard Lopate at WNYC, WNYC.org. Stick around.